Hello, and welcome to episode 332 of the New LifeSpring Family Audio Bible, the podcast that helps you achieve consistency in reading the Bible. My name is Steve Webb, and I'm your host. This is a Monday through Friday podcast, but during this 31-day challenge known as the Dog Days of Podcasting, or DDP, I'll also be doing special shows on Saturdays and Sundays. It's planned that DDP will go until September 4th, and I would love to have your input for some of those weekend shows. Send me a question or two that you'd like me to answer. Could be anything about the Bible, Christian doctrine, why is the sky blue, what's your favorite singer, whatever you're curious about. Think of a question or two and email me at steve@lifespringmedia.com, and if I use your question on the show, and chances are good that I will, I'll send you a copy of my book, Webb's Easy Bible Names Pronunciation Guide. If you'd like to know more about that book, go to easybiblenamesguide.com. All you have to do is send in a question for me to answer on one of the weekend DDP shows. Today we're on track one, which takes us back to 2 Samuel and chapters 7 and 8, and we're still reading from the Contemporary English Bible. Let's begin. 2 Samuel chapter 7. When the king was settled in his palace, and the Lord had given him rest from all his surrounding enemies, the king said to the prophet Nathan, "Look, I'm living in a cedar palace, but God's chest is housed in a tent." Nathan said to the king, "Go ahead and do whatever you're thinking, because the Lord is with you." But that very night the Lord's word came to Nathan, "Go to my servant David and tell him, 'This is what the Lord says. You are not the one to build the temple for me to live in. In fact, I haven't lived in a temple from the day I brought Israel out of Egypt until now. Instead, I have been traveling around in a tent and in a dwelling. Throughout my traveling around with the Israelites, did I ever ask any of Israel's tribal leaders I appointed to shepherd my people, 'Why haven't you built me a cedar temple?' So then, say this to my servant David, 'This is what the Lord of heavenly forces says. I took you from the pasture, from following the flock, to be leader over my people Israel. I've been with you wherever you've gone, and I've eliminated all your enemies before you. Now I will make your name great, like the name of the greatest people on earth. I'm going to provide a place for my people Israel, and plant them so that they may live there and no longer be disturbed. Cruel people will no longer trouble them, as they had been earlier, when I appointed leaders over my people Israel. And I will give you rest from all your enemies. And the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make a dynasty for you. When the time comes for you to die, and you lie down with your ancestors, I will raise up your descendant, one of your very own children, to succeed you, and I will establish his kingdom. He will build a temple for my name, and I will establish his royal throne forever. I will be a father to him, and he will be a son to me. Whenever he does wrong, I will discipline him with a human rod, with blows from human beings. But I will never take my faithful love away from him like I took it away from Saul, whom I set aside in favor of you. Your dynasty and your kingdom will be secured forever before me. Your throne will be established forever." Nathan reported all of these words and this entire vision to David. Then King David went and sat in the Lord's presence. He asked, "Who am I, Lord God, and of what significance is my family that you have brought me this far? But even this was too small in your eyes, Lord God. Now you have also spoken about your servant's dynasty in the future, and the generation to come, Lord God. What more can David say to you? You know your servant, Lord God. For the sake of your word, and according to your own will, you have done this great thing so that your servant would know it. That is why you are so great, Lord God. No one can compare to you, no God except you, just as we have always heard with our own ears. And who can compare to your people Israel? They are the one nation on earth that God redeemed as his own people, establishing his name by doing great and awesome things for them, by driving out nations and their gods before your people whom you redeemed from Egypt. You established your people Israel as your own people forever, and you, Lord, became their God. Now, Lord God, confirm forever the promise you have made about your servant and his dynasty. Do just as you have promised, so that your name will be great forever when people say, 'The Lord of heavenly forces is Israel's God.'" May your servant David's household be established before you, because you, Lord of heavenly forces, Israel's God, have revealed to your servant that you will build a dynasty for him. That is why your servant has found the courage to pray this prayer to you. Lord God, you are truly God. Your words are trustworthy, and you have promised this good thing to your servant. So now willingly bless your servant's dynasty, so that it might continue forever before you, because you, Lord God, have promised. Let your servant's dynasty be blessed forever by your blessing. 2 Samuel chapter 8. Sometime later, David defeated the Philistines and subdued them. David captured Metheg Ammah from Philistine control. David also defeated the Moabites and made them lie on the ground, measuring them with a rope. He measured 2 rope lengths for those who were to be killed, and 1 rope length for those who were to be spared. The Moabites became David's subjects and brought him tribute. Next, David defeated Zobah's king Hadadezer, Rehob's son, as Hadadezer was on his way to put his monument along the Euphrates River. David captured 1,000 chariots, 700 charioteers, and 20,000 foot soldiers. He cut the hamstrings of all but 100 of the chariot horses. When the Arameans of Damascus came to help Zobah's king Hadadezer, David killed 22,000 of them. David set up forts among the Arameans of Damascus, and the Arameans became David's subjects and brought him tribute. The Lord gave David victory wherever he went. David took the gold shields carried by Hadadezer's servants and brought them to Jerusalem. David also took a large amount of bronze from Teba and Berothai, towns that belonged to Hadadezer. When Hamath's king Toi heard that David had defeated the entire army of Hadadezer, he sent his son Joram to King David to wish him well and congratulate him on his battle and defeat of Hadadezer, because Toi was an enemy of Hadadezer. Joram brought silver, gold, and bronze objects with him. King David dedicated these to the Lord, along with the silver and gold he had dedicated from all the nations that he had subdued: Edom, Moab, the Ammonites, the Philistines, and Amalek, including the plunder of Zobah's king Hadadezer, Rehob's son. So David made a name for himself. When he returned, he killed 18,000 Edomites in the Salt Valley. He set up forts in Edom, and all the Edomites became David's subjects. The Lord gave David victory wherever he went. David ruled over all Israel and maintained justice and righteousness for all his people. Zeruiah's son Joab was in command of the army. Ahilud's son Jehoshaphat was recorder. Ahitub's son Zadok and Ahimelech's son Abiathar were priests. Seraiah was secretary. Jehoiada's son Benaiah was in command of the Kerethites and the Pelethites. And David's sons were priests. May God bless the reading of His Word. In chapter 7, after David finally gets a time of rest from war, he looks at the beautiful palace he has, and it dawns on him that the Lord should have something better than the tent in which the Ark of the Covenant has been housed. God has blessed him. The Lord picked him to be the king of God's chosen people when he was just a boy tending his father's sheep, and God kept David safe when King Saul wanted to kill him, and he gave David victory over all of his enemies. David wanted to build a temple for God out of gratitude and love. Now, when someone is good to you, when they do something special for you, isn't it natural to want to do something for them to show your gratitude? I think it is for most of us. Now, we're not told here in 2 Samuel why God did not allow David to build a temple for him, but we are told in 1 Chronicles chapter 28. The important thing for us today, though, is that God was pleased with David's intentions. He looked at David's heart and saw that David loved God and sincerely desired to honor him with providing him a suitable temple. And so God, even though he didn't allow David to build the temple, God made a promise to David that reverberates to this very day. God promised that he would make David's name great, and that he would make a dynasty for David, and that his throne would be established forever. Note that when God makes a promise, he always delivers, although it is not always the way in which we might think. From a merely human perspective, we might look at the history of Israel and say that David's family was overthrown, and Israel ceased to be for centuries, and there is not a descendant of David now ruling present-day Israel. But the truth is that there is one on David's throne even today, and he will be there for eternity. When we look at the genealogy of Jesus, we see that he is a descendant of David, just as was prophesied that the Messiah would be. And he is definitely and eternally on the throne at the right hand of God. When we offer to do something for God with a heart of gratitude and love, God is most definitely pleased. When we don't do it to get something from God, but just out of love, there's no telling what he will do in response. In my case, he gave me a platform to speak to you today. Way back in 2004, before I had ever heard of podcasting, and before the word was even coined, I think, I was having a time of prayer, telling God how grateful I was for the blessings in my life. And I asked him what more I could do for him. I don't have time to tell the whole story, but suffice it to say that a few weeks later, the first Christian podcast not based on repurposed church sermons was pushed out to my church's website. If you want to read the whole story or listen to my telling of my story, just go to lifespringmedia.com/about-steve-webb. I'm not bringing this up to you to blow my own horn, but to let you see that it is impossible to anticipate how God will respond when you offer yourself to Him with a pure and open heart. Podcasting was barely a gleam in anyone's eye when I made that prayer. And since then, my shows have been downloaded from nearly every country on the planet. And I'll probably never know how God has used this vehicle to touch lives, but I have received enough email from people that I do know that lives have been changed. And believe me, it's not me. It's the grace and goodness and love of God. Open yourself to God and see what He does. I have no doubt that you'll be completely astounded. Have something to say? Email me at steve@lifespringmedia.com or leave a comment on the show notes page at 332.lifespringmedia.com or tweet me at _SteveWebb_ and put a hashtag in there, LifespringMedia. Also, remember to send me a question or two. If I use it on the show, I'll send you a free copy of my book. Check it out at easybiblenamesguide.com. Tomorrow we're on track 2, which takes us back to the New Testament. Until then, may God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb. Thanks for being here. Bye.